You're listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
Movie theater. Yeah, okay. A lot of you guys like to go to the movie theater. How many of you secretly like to go to the movie theater, but you think something's wrong with it and you don't want to raise your hand? Okay. All right. Just making sure. Just seeing if I could trick somebody into being honest. So a lot of times, have you ever been fooled? Have you ever been fooled by a movie trailer? I have, right? Like, they will dump so much money into special effects and good-looking actors and great, incredible trailers, and then you spend your money, and you go, and the acting is terrible, and the writing is horrible, and there's no plot whatsoever, and you just feel like somebody robbed you, right? Like, I just feel like someone just stole my money and made me watch terrible things and burn my eyeballs. And so it's a bad thing. Sometimes we get fooled. We get fooled by something that looks good on the outside, but really once you get into it, it's really bad. Kind of like the Transformer movies, right? Or the Expendables movies. Have you ever seen an Expendable movie? It is the worst, absolutely worst acting you've ever seen in your life. They took a bunch of washed-up 80s heroes and tried to throw them into a movie and basically said, make up the lines as you go. It's awful, but there's a lot of explosions, and so men will pay money to see something blow up because we are all pyromaniacs at heart. Amen, men?
Amen.
Amen. So here's the thing. Sometimes we get fooled, and today we're going to talk about a story in the Bible where Jesus got fooled also. Jesus was drawn in. He was enticed by something that turned out to be a lie. And so we're going to read that story today. It's found in Mark chapter 11, and then you'll quickly find out why we're calling our message Figgy Pudding. It has nothing to do with pudding. Mark 11, verse 12, and we're going to go 12, 13, and 14, and then we'll skip down to verse 20. It says this on verse 12, on the following day, when they came from Bethany, he was hungry. The he there is Jesus, and the they there is him and his boys. He was hungry. Everybody say hungry. Now, when we finish this story, I think we're going to find out that he was hangry. Everybody say hangry.
Hangry.
Do you know what hangry is? It's when you're so hungry you get angry, right? And I think he was hangry because the rest of this story goes south real fast. It says, and seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf. If you're taking notes, you need to underline the word leaf there. And again, we'll find out later. And he went to it to see if he could find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he said to it, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples heard him. Now we'll skip down, because they go into town, a lot of stuff happens, they come back out of town. On their way back out of town, they walk past that same fig tree that now has some issues. Verse 20, as they passed by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. There's an issue here. Jesus sees a fig tree in full bloom, right? Like, we got leaves everywhere. He says, I'm hangry. I'm going to get me some figs. He walks up to the fig tree, can't find any figs, gets mad, right? Because he's already got that worked up, and just curses the fig tree, goes into town, comes back the next day, and it is withered up and dead at the root. So today what we want to talk about is we want to talk about some of the problems that this fig tree had. And hopefully this won't apply to anybody in the room, but I know one person that does, and that's me, right? Because I've seen these things operate in my life, and so I'm hoping that maybe I can connect with some of you, maybe nobody, and that'll be good for you. So maybe this is a message just for me. But the first problem that the fig tree had was it was very shallow. It was very shallow. And so we'll give you today a problem and a solution. The solution is be significant. What do I mean by being very shallow? Here's the shallow part. The Bible says it was full of leaves. It was full of leaves. It looked good, right? The fig tree looked really, really good, but it had no fruit on it. And sometimes in life, we can look really, really good without having any fruit operating in our life. We talked the last couple of weeks, We've mentioned the gifts of the Spirit, right? We talked about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to fill your life up. He wants to elevate your game. He wants to take what you've already got and take your natural, make it supernatural. He wants to do all this stuff in your life. And we talked about these gifts of the Spirit that were so powerful, so wonderful. But then we also said if you don't have the character to uphold the gifts will outweigh you and they will cause you to crumble, right? And so then we said, well, you got to have character. So what's the character? And so last week we talked about the fruit of the Spirit is love, and that is the character that helps hold up those gifts. In this situation, this tree has all the gifts. It's got all the leaves. It looks really, really good, but there's no fruit on it. So then it becomes a very shallow individual, a shallow family, a shallow church, a shallow pastor, shallow parent. Right? There are some churches, I hope not this one, but it could be us. There are some churches that look really, really good. They've got all the leaves that you could want. They've got all the lights and the bells and the whistles, and they've got a great preacher that gets everybody excited and makes them laugh and makes them cry. They've got everything. They've got a worship band, you know, that doesn't try and scare the pastor in the mornings. Right? They got everything that you could want. And the problem is there's no substance behind it. And there's families that are the same way. There's families that show up all the time, and whenever they come to church, they look like they got it all together. There's people that are married. They come to church, they look like they've got it all together. They show everybody something, but there is no love, there is no substance to their marriage, to their relationship. And so what we want to do is we want to strive for significance. We want to strive for producing fruit. We want to strive to not just be about the show and the leaves, right? I've never seen anybody that was starving begging somebody for a salad, right? Nobody starving is begging for a salad. You don't see anybody on the side of the road says, we'll work for salad, right? Never happens. Why? Because a salad will not fill you up, right? It will not help you out. What you need is some meat, like a big old hamburger, right? So we need substance. You need substance. And I want to show you something it's kind of a long passage here, but in Matthew chapter 25, I want to show you how God feels about this, because this is a very real problem. Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. Now, Jesus here is foretelling the future. He's telling us what it's going to be like at the end of time, whenever he comes back to judge the world, right? Now, the reason I say this is important for us, because if Jesus is saying this kind of stuff is happening in his time, which he did, there's a scripture where Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and the religious leaders of the day, and he tells them, you look real pretty, right? You got a lot of pretty leaves, but there's no fruit coming out of you, and so you're essentially like a pretty tomb. You're a dressed up tomb with dead men's bones inside. So he says, this is a problem in my time, but then he says, this is also going to be a problem at the end of times. Look at what he says here. He says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he'll sit on the glorious throne. And before him will be gathered all the nations, that's us. And he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep and the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And the king will say to those on his right, those are the sheep, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. Because he told them, apparently. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we do all this stuff? When did we see you a stranger? When did we welcome you or clothe you? Or he says, when do we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king, verse 40, the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you also did it to me. Then he will say, now this is the important part. So he's told all the sheep, you visited me, you loved me, you did all this great stuff. You produced fruit while you were on earth. You're blessed, come on in, right? That's what he told all the ones on his right. But then it says in verse then he said to those who are, okay, then he looks at the other ones and he says this in verse 41. Then he'll say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. That's bad. Verse 42, for I was hungry, you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you did not welcome me. Naked, you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, you did not visit me. Verse 44, then they will also answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, a stranger, naked, sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Verse 45, then he will answer them, saying, truly, I say to you, you did not, as you did to one of the least of these, you did not do to me, and go away into eternal punishment and fire. Here's the thing. What they're saying is, they're calling him Lord. They're calling him Lord. And so both groups of people call him Lord. I think when he's separating people out here, he's separating out church folks. Right? It's fairly obvious if somebody's not a Christian. It's very obvious to Jesus. I would think it's pretty obvious to him that who's what. But I think in this situation, he's separating out church folks. Because even the goats are saying, Lord, like they know who you are. They know Jesus, right? But he still separates them out. Why? Because he says, look, you've got all the right words. You've got all the right way to dress. You've got all the right backgrounds. You've got all the right money. The problem is what you don't have is the right heart. What you don't have is the fruit. You've got plenty of leaves, but you got no fruit. You can't come in. All you other guys, you guys may look a little rougher on the edges, right? Like you may have some issues going on, but you got the fruit. Like you did what was right. You may not have as many leaves as these cats, but you got the fruit, and that's what matters. Now, I know that doesn't apply to all of you because I know you guys are solid people. But in our country right now, it's very popular to just say the right things. And if you'll just get up and you say all the right things and you dress the right way and you do the right stuff, then everybody's going to like you and you'll go to heaven and we'll all be happy and eat supper. You know, it's like, it's not realistic. The fact is, you got to produce fruit. You got to produce fruit. We don't want to be pretty graves. He's not looking for people with gifts. He's looking for people with fruit. And here's the thing. I'm not bagging on the gifts. But if you learn to get the fruit first, then the gifts will come. The gifts will come. You won't even have to worry about that. But you got to get the fruit first. You got to get the character right first. You got to get that right first. The second problem is this. The tree had too many secrets. The tree had too many secrets. If you'll notice, the Bible says that it was full of leaves. What are those? And it says that Jesus had to come and search for fruit, right? He had to search for fruit. So what does that tell me? If the tree had no leaves, you could right off the bat see that there was no fruit, right? If the tree had one or two leaves, you could still see there's no fruit. But because the tree was full of leaves, it is hiding the fact that it has no fruit. So what's the solution to that? Be real. Be real. I think sometimes what we do in life is we know we've got problems, we know we've got issues, so we try to hide them as best we can. Pastor Jonathan and I talk a lot about church stuff, you know, whatever. And we talk about how sometimes one of the easiest places to hide in a church is within the realms of ministry, right? It's easy to hide in the sound booth. Why? Because you're back there in the dark. Nobody sees you. You could be a murderer, come in here and go sit in that sound booth and nobody would know. But I am watching you two now because I thought about that. An easy place to hide is on this stage right here. Like I can get up here and just talk and talk and talk and tell you all kinds of wonderful things and on the inside be rotten. On the inside be hiding things. And that's probably why I give way too much information about my life. Because I'm always afraid of not being honest, right? But the fact is, sometimes we try to hide everything and we try to act like we've got nothing wrong. We try to act like everything's okay. You know who did that? The Bible says in the book of Genesis that Adam and Eve did that. That Adam and Eve were the only two people on earth. And they sinned. They disobeyed God. Now there is nobody else who could have done it, right? Have you ever had that kid that goes and breaks something, but they're the only kid in the house, and like, I didn't do it? And you're like, somebody did. You know, it wasn't me. Had to be you. Adam and Eve try and go hide from God as though you can hide from God. But we do that all the time. We do that all the time. We try to hide our mess from everybody. We try to hide our mess from God. But in reality, God's saying, I would rather you have no leaves at all. Right? I'd rather you have no leaves at all. So what do you have to do? We have to be real. We were listening to a message this week. I was talking about this, and I like two of the things this guy said. And so the first thing is, you got to be real with God. You got to be real with God. You've got to just go to God and be completely and totally honest with God and just tell God exactly what you got going on in your life as though he doesn't know it. He knows it, but it's good for him to hear it from you. And you got to be real with somebody else. I'm not saying you got to be real with everybody. I'm not saying you got to tell everybody everything you got going on. My dad always says confession is good for the soul and bad for the reputation, right? You got to be careful what you tell folks. But you need to find those one or two, three people in your life that you can just absolutely be totally honest with. Somebody that will help you, pray for you, bring you through. That's why we push small groups so much, because we're hoping that in the context of a small group, maybe not the first one you join, maybe not the second one you join, but we're hoping somewhere in one of the small groups that you're involved in that you're going to find that person that will help you through life that you can be totally honest with. So there's a story, this guy that was talking about it. He's a pastor in Arkansas, and he was telling his own story, and I really like it, so I'm going to steal it today and use it. I would try to make it my own, right, but then it would be a total lie and fabrication, and I've already told you I never did drugs, so it's really no fun that way. So this pastor, he used to smoke pot a lot, and he smoked pot a whole lot, apparently, and then he got saved. He gave his heart to God, and he knew that he didn't need to smoke pot anymore, and so he had this dilemma because he just thought, man, my downfall is going to be pot. Like, I know it. Like, I know my problem. But he tried to hide that from everybody because he was so scared that people would know that he smokes pot or wanted to smoke pot. And so he called his uncle, who's a preacher, and he said, hey, you got to help me out. I got this problem. I don't know what to do with it. He said, well, what's the problem? He said, I really like to smoke pot. Like, I just love to smoke pot. And I'm afraid that at some point, that's going to get me. It's going to come back and get me. And he said, well, here's what you do. You need to go to God, and you say, God, I love to smoke pot, and I want to smoke pot, and I'm going to do it if you don't help me. He said, you be very honest with God. He said, then I want you to find somebody else that you can be very honest with, that you can stay accountable to, which he had already done. He was talking to his uncle. And so the guy said, okay, thank you so much, you know, and I'll be praying for you. You know how it is. So the guy goes out. The next day, he tells God, my downfall is going to be pot if you don't help me. You got to help me get over this. You got to help me get through this, and this is going to be my problem. And he goes, and he's pumping gas. And he gets out of his car, and he's pumping gas. And the story's not necessarily clear, but I think, if I understand it correctly, it's like whenever he opened up the door, that a big, huge joint fell out and hit the ground. And he immediately just said, thank you, Jesus, right? And picked that bad boy up and finished pumping his gas, jumped in his car, pushed a cigarette lighter in, and was driving down the road. And he rolls down his window, he puts a joint in his mouth, and he is just getting ready to smoke this pot. And all of a sudden, it's like God told him, that will never satisfy you as much as I will satisfy you. And he said, it just hit me that my honesty with God, my honesty with somebody else, them praying for me. The Bible says that Jesus intercedes on your behalf. Jesus is praying for you. So my honesty with God opens up communication there. My honesty with somebody else opens up communication that is going all over the place. It's going to heaven, coming back to me, and all of a sudden this guy gets a word from God that says, you will never be satisfied by that joint as you will be by me. The guy throws it out the window, right? And never smoked pot again. I'm going to tell you something today. I want to learn to be real. I don't want to hide everything. Whenever you hide stuff, it rots you from the inside. It burns on the inside. It hurts on the inside. Whenever you feel like you've always got a secret you can't tell. You don't need to tell everybody your secret, but you need to have somebody. You need to have somebody that you can just be honest with. You remember The Wizard of Oz? Anybody ever watch The Wizard of Oz? One of my favorite movies when I was a kid. I loved The Wizard of Oz. And remember the wizard himself? Whenever you first introduced to the wizard, what is he? Right? Anybody remember? He was a big, huge head, right? With fire everywhere and a loud, booming voice. And it was really kind of scary. It was really kind of scary. And Dorothy and her friends, they're scared of the wizard, right? They're scared of the wizard. In reality, though, here's the thing. By the end of the movie, they look behind the curtain, you know, and he's still trying to lie to them. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, you know, and he's still trying to lie to them. But, you know, if you watch that movie again with this in mind, you'll notice a little bit of relief on the wizard's face. Because a wizard is trying to hide the fact that he's not really a wizard. And he's using all these leaves called fire and light and noise to hide the fact that he's really not a wizard. And whenever they expose him for the truth, whenever truth is unveiled, it's like the wizard is relieved. And he's like, oh, how can I just be myself, right? Whenever we try to hide, we work so hard to hide the fact that we don't have any fruit. And it's sometimes just better just to drop all the leaves and say, look, this is my issue. This is my problem. God, if you don't help me, this is going to be my problem. Friend, if you don't keep me accountable, this is going to be my issue. This is going to be the thing that hangs me up. Paul said this. He said, you got to learn to run a race without all the entanglements. There are little things in your life and in my life that will just entangle us. It's not necessarily going to cause you to go to hell. It's not necessarily going to cause you to lose your family. But it's one of those things that will cause you just to trip and trip and trip. And we keep saying, why do I keep tripping over the same stuff? It's because we've never learned to get rid of those entanglements. And we get rid of those things by confessing to God, being real with God, being real with somebody else. The last problem that the fig tree had was that it was selfish. It was a selfish fig tree. And my solution for that is that we got to learn to be ready. So let me explain that to you for just a second. The thing is, the Bible says that whenever Jesus looked at the fig tree, he saw all the leaves, right? But it says that it wasn't the season for figs. Now this is the part in the story where I start feeling bad for the fig tree. I'm like, man, it wasn't even the right season. And Jesus came up in the wrong season. It was Jesus' fault. He should have come in the right season if he wanted figs. He's God. He should know the seasons, right? He could have looked around the whole world at one time and picked out a fig tree that had figs on it. But no, he chose this fig tree when it was the wrong season, and it's not the fig tree's fault. And then I got to thinking about it. I thought about how many times I've told God it's not the right season for me to produce fruit. I don't like these people. I'm not going to love on them. They make me mad. I'm not going to love on them, right? Y'all don't want to amen that part because you know that's coming up. Because Christmas time's coming, you're going to see some family members you don't like. And there's some of y'all, this is the only time of the year that you're nice to them because you know if you're nice to them, you'll get a present. I better stop talking like that. It just got real. The fact is, we do that so often. We start telling God, it's not my season, God. It's not my season. I don't want to help out in that area. That's not my thing. That's not what I do. Right? It's not my season. We start telling God all these excuses on why we can't do something. But at the end of the day, when the creator of the earth is hungry, you produce fruit, no matter what season it is. I don't care how you feel. I don't care who's around you. I don't care what area of church or what area of ministry. If God's asking you to do something, God asks you to pull off to the side of the road and help a homeless man, you can't say, God, that's not my thing. That's what Jim does. That's not God telling you to pray for Jim to come by and help this man out. You can't tell God that's not my season. At some point, we got to realize every season is my season. The season is when Jesus shows up to require something from you, that is your season. You better produce. So be ready. Be ready at all times. Paul says this in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He's talking to Timothy in verse 2. And he says, preach the word, man. Be ready in season and out of season. At all times, be ready to preach. Be ready to produce fruit. Always be ready. Always be ready. And here's the thing. Whenever we're always ready, then we're always ready for the desire of God. How do I stay always ready? I stay prayed up. I stay in my word. I keep some things going. People ask me sometimes, they're like, you know, hey, how can you get up sometimes and share a thought or whatever? Because I've been asked before at certain meetings, well, hey, would you share a quick thought? And I'll get up and I'll share a quick thought. And they're like, man, you did that so fast. How did you pull that out of the word so fast? I'm like, I didn't. You know, I pulled out of the word like 3 weeks ago and I just remembered it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just stay ready. I always keep something going. And the same is true for you and me when it comes to loving people, when it comes to producing fruit, when it comes to witnessing to somebody, when it comes to blessing somebody, when it comes to working in the church or doing whatever it is that you need to do. We need to stay ready and don't blame the season. I was telling the core team this morning before you guys got here, I said, So Perry had surgery on Friday, maybe? It was Friday. And so Friday night, it was a long ordeal. We're at the hospital a long time, and so Friday night we finally get to get in the bed at like 11:30, 12 o'clock, and so we get in the bed. It's like it was 11:30, but I remember I didn't go to bed until like 12:45, and I was just so worried that I was gonna miss like the medicine schedule, right? You know how that goes. You got to give someone medicine at certain times. I'm afraid I'm going to miss it, and so I can't go to sleep. And so about 12:45, I kind of doze off, but I wake right back up at 2 o'clock because that was the next time I had to give medicine. So at 2 o'clock, I'm up, and I'm getting the medicine together, and I'm giving her medicine, and then I start thinking, well, you better create a chart because I'm kind of a nerd, right? But I didn't have my computer with Excel on it, so I'm like drawing out a chart on a piece of paper. And so I'm making this chart of when to give medicine, what to give, and I'm doing it really nice. And then I try to go to sleep, and then I think, what if there's an app for that? So then I wake up and I start looking through my phone. I find an app, and the app is all about medicine timers. So I set it all up, and it takes me forever to set up the medicine timer, and I get the medicine timer, and then I think, what if the medicine timer doesn't work good? You never use this app, so you got to set some alarms. So I start setting alarms. By the time I do that, it's time to wake her up again. I was like, doggone, I hadn't slept yet. And so then I give her the medicine, and now it's 4 o'clock in the morning, and I still haven't slept but about an hour and 15 minutes, and so it's 4 o'clock. Well, then I'm so wired now, it's like I'm going to just turn on the TV. And so I'm watching TV, and then it's 5 o'clock, then it's 6 o'clock, then it's the next day, well, you know, later on in the day, and then it's last night, right? And I still haven't slept yet. And so last night I'm at home, and the same thing happens again. We lay down, we're getting ready to go to sleep. Well, she's been asleep all day. I'll get ready to go to sleep, and I start thinking, man, what if the app doesn't work? What if I wake up? What if I don't wake up? What if she dies? Because I didn't give her the medicine. Oh, my gosh. You know, and I'm just freaking out. And so I can't sleep. So then last night I don't sleep hardly at all. Man, I got a couple hours, I think, last night. And then I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning again to give her a dose. And then I'm just awake the rest of the time. And so I get ready and I come to church. Now I could very easily go to God and say, God, it's just not my season. Look here, boss. I'm tired. I'm worn out. Right? I can't do this. I can't get up and preach. I can't just love on people today. I don't feel like it. God says, yeah, but if I show up, you better produce fruit. And how does he show up? Does he always show up spiritual? No. Sometimes he shows up as a visitor. The Bible says, you gave to this poor person. You visited this person in prison. That was me. That was me. Sometimes God shows up in the crowd, and we don't even realize it. So he says, if I show up, you better produce fruit. I don't care how tired you are. I don't care what season it is. This is a season you're going through. Some of you are going through seasons right now in your life. And I feel like God just gave me, it's not my notes, so I just want you to know I'm saying that because this might be significant for somebody in the room. Some of you are going through a time in your life that is bad right now. You're going through a time in your life that is bad right now, and it's hard right now, and you keep telling God, God, once I get through this time in my life, once I get this victory, then I'll do something. Then I'll produce fruit. Then I'll take care of whatever it is that you want me to take care of. And I feel like God's telling you today, this is a season in your life that will pass. Seasons pass on their own. You don't have to work to make a season pass. Except for in Alabama, where I think we're still in summer. Seasons pass on their own. And God's saying today, some of you are going through a season right now. Right? It's not a lifestyle, it's just a season. And he's saying it doesn't matter what season you're in. I still want to do some stuff through you. And so you need to just be ready. You need to stay ready. Let me end today talk about two things, the curse and the cut. The curse and the cut. See, at the very end, Jesus looks at the tree and says, you're cursed. And it withers up and dies at its root. Right? So what happens? Whenever we have shallow, secret, or selfish attitudes, we put ourselves under a curse. We put ourselves under a curse. And we know this happens because the Bible says that whenever you don't tithe, you put yourself under a curse, right? Like, so we understand there's this concept of things that God's got a hand of protection over you, but if you choose to take yourself out from underneath that covering, then a curse will happen. And what's a curse? A curse is not some witch giving you the stink eye, right? Like, that's not a curse. That's not a curse. That's a bunch of hogwash. A curse is in reality, it's whenever you don't have God's covering on your life. And you're going to start seeing some things start happening in your life. And it's not because God doesn't love you. He still loves you. But you're choosing a selfish, a shallow, or a secret attitude. And God can't bless that kind of attitude. And the thing I found interesting when I was studying this is that it got cursed at the roots. When it's cursed at the roots level, what does a root do for a plant? A root is the thing that draws in nutrients, that draws in life. Have you ever been in a place in your life when you just feel like God's not speaking to you? I just don't know, Pastor. I don't know why I can't read the Word, and God just never speaks to me, and God never talks to me, and I never feel anything from God. I never feel like God's giving me anything. He's not pouring into my life. Maybe you got that root curse because you're not being able to draw anything in, and it feels blocked up. It feels stopped. I'm going to tell you something today. We got to get over those attitudes. We got to put ourselves back underneath God's covering. The last one is the curse and the cuts. In John chapter 15, verse 2, the Bible says that every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Here's the thing. Today, you're going to get cut one way or the other. You're going to get cut one way. Doesn't matter. We're all getting cut today. The problem is, if you're not going to produce fruit at all, God says, I can just cut you off and remove you, because that's not going to happen. Like, that's not going to work for us. But God says, if you are going to produce fruit, I'm still going to cut you a little bit, but it's only so you can produce more fruit. Some of you are sitting back and you're thinking, man, why did this happen to me this week? Why did this happen to me this week? Why did that happen to me this week? Maybe God was just pruning you and just showing you, hey, I still want you to continue to produce fruit, but here's a couple of areas we need to just snip off, right? We just need to snip off a couple of areas. I'm hoping nobody in the room is going to get the big chop, right? I mean, some of you might. There were sheep and goats. You know, it happens. Man, sermon just went south real fast. It just got real sad all of a sudden. Sometimes the truth, what? There you go. Some of y'all know it. Others were going, I won't say that. Let's close with this last verse, John 15:5. How do I produce fruit, Pastor? Pastor, I want to stop being selfish, right? I want to stop being selfish. I want to stop saying I'm only going to produce fruit when I want to produce it, when it's my season. I want to stop that. I want to be ready, like you said. How do we get to the point in our life where we say, I want to stop being shallow. I want to be significant. I want to do something real in someone's life. I don't want to worry about all the show and all the fun stuff. I want to really do something great in someone's life. How do we do that? How do we produce that fruit? How do we become very real and stop being secret? Let me tell you, it's very simple, and I love that Jesus makes things simple. We make things complicated. You want to get saved, you got to raise your hand, you got to pray a prayer, you got to come down to the front, you got to shake the preacher's hand, you got to sign a card, you got to go to a class. It's like we make things so hard, right? But Jesus makes it super simple. He says, hey, you want to know the key to producing fruit in your life? You want to know the key to just getting pruned and not cut? You want to know the key to stepping back out from under the curse and into the blessing? John 15, verse 5. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. It's really simple today. It's really simple. And sometimes the most simple things are the hard ones. John and I coach a basketball team. And these kids, I mean, they can't shoot, right? Because they're small and they're not good. And so we teach them. We say, you see that white square up there? Just, if you can just throw the ball and hit that white square. But kids don't like that. They want it to, you know, swish. They want to, you know, nothing but net. They want to shoot it from the side. No. Just, if you just do this one simple thing for me, just hit that white square. I promise you'll hit more shots. If you'll just shoot it the little, and it's the simplest thing that they do not want to do, they don't want to do it because it's too simple. It's too simple. And we get that way sometimes. It's too simple. How do I abide, Pastor? How do I abide? Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. That means live in me and let me live in you. That means make the Word, make that secret place that we talked about a couple weeks ago, make that secret place a priority in your life. Look, I'll be real with you today. There are some days it's a struggle for me too, and I'm the pastor. I'm the pastor. Maybe that means you want to change churches, and that would be a good time, I guess. Because I struggle with it, man. There are times when it's a struggle. I'm not going to make excuses, but when you got like three kids and a wife and a job and sometimes two jobs and you got stuff going on, like sometimes it's a struggle. But I can't go to God and say, God, I can't spend time with you today. It's not my season. it's a struggle, but sometimes you got to do it. You got to make it happen. And Jesus is saying, you want to produce fruit, and not just produce fruit. I like the fact that Jesus said, produce much fruit. Much fruit. You want to produce much fruit? Just hang out with me. Just hang out with me. Make this your home. You stay next to me, and everything is going to work out. You will produce fruit. Some of y'all want to produce fruit at your jobs. Some of you want to produce fruit in your homes. You want to produce fruit in your ministry. You want to produce fruit in your, you know, just in your everyday life when you're at the store, you're at wherever. You want to be fruit producing, but you just can't seem to make it happen. We need to just stay home with Him. Just stay close to Him. Get as close to Him as you possibly can. You don't know how to do that? Get with somebody that does. Get in a small group. Get with people that are going to help you get as close as possible to Jesus. I've talked too much this morning. Why don't you close your eyes for just a minute? Let me pray for you. There's some of you in the room today. You may say, Pastor, I'm not close to Him at all. I'm not serving Him at all. And I need to give my heart to Christ. I just need to give Him my life today. I need to make a decision today. I feel kind of like that fig tree today. Maybe you got it all together. Maybe you look really, really good and you got all the leaves and you're pretty. But you know deep down inside there's no fruit coming out of you. There's no substance coming out of you. You know down inside you're really feeling more like the fig tree that's withered up at the roots. You're not getting anything. And today you want to give God your life. You want to give Jesus a chance to change you. If that's you this morning, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you come down to the front or shake my hand. I just want you to slip your hand up, put it right back down so I know who to pray for this morning. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you very much. Anybody else today? Nobody's looking around. Nobody's watching. It's just you and God this morning. Okay. Why don't everybody pray the same prayer with me this morning? Then I'm going to pray for you. Say, Lord Jesus, step into my life. Help me today to make you my Lord and my Savior. I thank you for your grace that even though I'm a sinner and I don't deserve it, you still died for my sins because you love me and you're good. So today, I declare I will live for you. I may not be perfect, but I will produce fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. For the rest of us, can we just put our hands over our hearts this morning? Let me pray for you. God, I just pray right now for my family and my friends and myself. And I just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would begin today to do a work in us. God, we don't want to be like the fig tree that looks good but has no substance to it. God, we don't want to live a life of secrets anymore. God, we want to learn how to be real. And God, we don't want to be selfish. We don't want to tell you when we can produce. The fact is, our lives should run around your schedule, not our own anyway. And so God, today I just pray for myself and I pray for these guys today. And I just ask today that you would speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Do a work in us. You said in your word that the Holy Spirit can transform us. So God, we ask for transformation on the inside today. I'm not worried about what we do, God. I'm worried about who we are. I'm worried about our character more than I'm worried about our actions. And so, God, today, make us men and women of character. God, today, help us to love you. Help us to have roots that go deep and abide in you. Help us to draw our strength and our life from you alone. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.